Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning. Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. We got someone on the board.
We got Joe in the building today.
We've got Joe working the board. Doesn't know how to fade out the intro, but outside of that, everything's good.
We're good.
And we're back. I think he's being distracted by Seth and his giant beard in the control booth. Welcome in. We're, of course, the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Kyle is away. He is an extra in the new Lindsay Lohan Christmas special for next year.
She has a lot of movies on Netflix. Now it's just Lindsay Lohan everywhere, I feel like.
I've got a...
My fiance's watched a couple of them, so that's how I know.
Yeah, I've got a bone to pick with my guy Kyle Madsen.
Why's that?
He made me watch this new Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie.
Is it the one he was talking about the other day where they split in the beginning and then...
It's Our Little Secret one?
Maybe, I think so, because I saw some of that one, yeah.
Kyle's main beef was a representation of THC and gummies in the movie. That was his main beef, but outside of that, he thought it was a good film. I just thought it was a film filled with bad people. Just one bad person after another.
Yeah,
everyone's
great.
Cheating. Everyone's a bad person.
That's facts, because the dad is cheating on the friend's couple or whatever with their wife and all that.
Yep.
And then so-and-so's cheating with so-and-so.
And then the other couple's daughter starts cheating with her Lindsay Lohan.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry, if we ruined your Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie, it was not a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
It just happens to happen during Christmas.
This is the whole bunch of cheating around Christmas, basically.
So if Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie, I have to tell you, the Lindsay Lohan movie is not a Christmas movie either.
Yeah.
It's a cheater's movie filled with cheaters and... Almost
it's
dog abuse.
A cheaters episode, but on Hallmark and Netflix.
Yes, yes. It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, we got a lot to get to today. The Sacramento Kings play later on this evening. They are back after a weird hiatus. Then they're not on the court again until Thursday, so we've got plenty to talk about there. But the NFL is heating up, and I think we're getting to the last couple of weeks of the season. And this is when the real teams start to separate.
Yeah, I was exactly going to say the same thing.
And that's what it felt like, wasn't it, Jesse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think yesterday, just off the top of my head, we'll get into it more and all that. But, like, the Packers were a team that impressed yesterday. The Bills, they might be the best team in the league at this point. And then, like, same with Philly. Philly looks really good right now, too.
Yeah, I think so. Like, everybody is tuning up for the playoffs, except for, of course, the San Francisco 49ers
and the
Las Vegas Raiders and the Miami Dolphins. Like, those teams are not...
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird because, you know, those are the teams that are local. And then, of course, Jesse's favorite team. But for me, I watched a lot of this Bills-Lions game yesterday. Absolutely incredible football. And I think what we're seeing right now from Josh Allen is a complete MVP performance on the season.
this was supposed to be a season where the Bills were probably expected to have a bit of a down year, just because you look at the receivers. Keon Coleman was a rookie. They got Shakir, and people were expecting someone that had Curtis Samuel early on before the season started or whatever. Maybe like he could help and all that.
Yeah.
But they weren't really expecting too much from the Bills, but they just completely turned it up this season, especially Josh Allen.
Yeah, to me, it's amazing. I mean, I thought that this was kind of one of those, like, road... I don't know, like... Who are you? Who are you? And when you see the Bills and Lions this late in the season, this could easily be a Super Bowl matchup. And I wanted to, like, I think everyone was glued to the screen to see what was going to happen in this game. And again, I think Josh Allen just continues to step up every single time.
He's the MVP right now, no doubt, too.
Yeah, I think, you know, statistically speaking, Lamar Jackson is going to be in the running all the way down to all the way down the stretch, just because of you know, the passing touchdowns, the lack of interceptions, and then on top of that, his ability to move, run the ball down the field. But Josh Allen, 362 yards, 2 touchdowns passing. He also has another 11 carries for 68 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that's what it feels like every week. He's got 2 touchdowns passing, 3 touchdowns passing. Oh, and by the way, he's also got 2 or 3 touchdowns rushing. Yeah. And then the one week he throws a touchdown to himself. I mean...
He's insane right now.
He is insane.
The Bills, too, I think, I don't know if it's too much of a hot take, but they're like, no doubt, the best team in the NFL right now.
I think they are. I think this weekend you were wondering, could the Lions be that? Mm-hmm. Who would come out of this like as the best team? And like, look, I think the Lions had a great week as well. Jared Goff threw for 494 yards and 5 touchdowns, no interceptions.
It's all stat. I think the Lions were one of the only teams to ever win a game where their quarterback threw 5 interceptions and lose a game where their quarterback threw 5 touchdowns in the same season.
Yeah, it's absolutely bizarre. Yeah. But Goff was spectacular. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 14 catches, 193 yards and a touchdown. He's been incredible too. And they, of course, lose David Montgomery to a season-ending knee injury in this game. It's a huge blow for them.
Yeah, I'm at the point with the Lions where I love what they did all season, but I think the injuries are going to catch up with them in the postseason. Because they lost Carlton Davis, one of their defensive backs, too, for the season as well, I think. And then they lost a starting defensive tackle. I can't remember his name.
Well, they lost Aiden Hutchinson early.
Yeah, earlier in the season, but like off just from yesterday's game.
Yeah.
And they lost their defensive tackle for the season, too.
The NFL keeps wanting to expand and go deeper into the year. I mean, we're at 17 games now. It does feel like there's no way to continue this unless...
our guy Charlie back in the building.
Oh, Charlie's back.
Yeah.
He's back from jolly old England.
Yeah, back from London.
There we go. It does feel like the NFL schedule, I don't know if there's a team in the league that looks complete right now because of the just...
Everyone's beat up.
Yeah, it's a war of attrition, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm still looking for the NFL to do something crazy like expand rosters.
They'll give us another game before they do that game.
I get that, but, I mean, like, why not just make...
Alfonso throws in the chat right here. Just give them another bye week at this point.
No, I would say...
They need extra rest.
Give them a bye week. Yeah. Give them a second bye week, especially if you're going to go to 18 games, which I think is everybody's idea that they're going to do. But at the same time, like, what are you doing with the same roster size that you had when you're playing 16 games? And... You know, go up to 57-man roster or something. Yeah. Just because these teams are just getting beat down throughout the season. And, like, look, if you can have a guy take, you know, 5 or 6 snaps off, maybe 10 snaps off in a game in week 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe he doesn't get injured. Maybe he does make it through the season a little more unscathed.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think injuries are going to have a lot to do with what we see going forward in the playoffs. And, you know, even... Patrick Mahomes yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, picked up another win. We talk about the best teams in football, and they probably still are the best team in football. We just don't want to acknowledge it. They're back-to-back Super Bowl winners, and they're a team with 1 loss on the season. Sure, they got lucky on quite a few games, but in this game specifically, Patrick Mahomes got picked up a high ankle sprain. And I think he's going to be questionable moving forward for the next couple of weeks. It's not like they have anything to really play for.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it for them, just because if he's there, game one of the postseason, all right, we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
Dude, last season it was, watch out for the Chiefs are in trouble. They're going to go on the road for the first time, this and that. Who won the Super Bowl still?
Chiefs.
With a lesser offense, blah, 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 this and that. Like, I'm not counting the Chiefs out at all. If Mahomes is there game one for the postseason, then we'll see. They'll be fine.
Yeah, and they of course they won't get Rashee Rice back, but mm-hmm. they did get Pacheco back. Pacheco. But they also Hollywood Brown is on the mend,
and they also have this immense amount of good luck for some reason. I don't know. Everything goes their way, one way or another. I'm not even talking about the ref stuff that Twitter talks about. It's just, hey, maybe we block a field goal against the Broncos on this last second and all that. Maybe this happens and that happens. It's just they got luck on their side right now, too.
They do. They always seem to have a whole lot of luck on their side. Mm-hmm. So, no, they're deep and they're talented. I do worry that, you know, Mahomes, he probably needs to take a week or two off. They haven't secured home field advantage all the way through. They aren't the secured number one seed, but they're close. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be an issue. Do you keep running him out there? And then, you know, for years they had Chad Henne as their backup quarterback.
Shout out Chad Henne.
No one even knew he was in the league still. And there he like comes out and wins, gets a Super Bowl ring a couple of times. And you're like, hey, I didn't even know he was still around. And then Carson Wentz stepped on the field. And I was like, I did not remember that Carson Wentz was there as their backup quarterback.
Carson Wentz just kind of lingering isn't the right word, but he's just kind of sticking around still at this point. Shout out to him. He's looking at the standings right now. The way the Chiefs have played, it makes you forget that they're 13-1 still, and the Bills are two games back.
Yeah.
Like, the Bills have been tearing it up, looking like I said, the best team in the league, still two games back, and it's probably not going to matter as far as the one seed.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think Carson Wentz is a new Chad Henne.
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, he had some really good seasons. I mean, he was a very, very good starter.
He was an
starter.
MVP candidate until he tore his ACL that one season.
Yeah.
And then Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, and it was all kind of downhill after that.
He was second in the... let's see.
I think Brady got it that year.
He was third in MVP in 2017. And he was second in AP, his second team, all NFL. That team is like destined for another long playoff run, although injuries could play some part in it. Outside of that, the one game that I think everyone was also tuned into this weekend, you had a battle in Pennsylvania. You had the Philly versus Pittsburgh. And I thought it did not, it disappointed quite a bit. And Philly looks like another top tier team.
I wouldn't say it disappointed. I just think it showed us who's who. Like, I don't think like the Steelers aren't some fraud team or anything like that, but I think it showed us like Philly has a good chance of getting back to the Super Bowl this year.
I think they do too. I think it's going to, like, if I'm picking two teams to represent like the NFC and the NFC championship game, mm-hmm. it's the Lions and Philly still at this point. There's some possibility that the Packers somehow make their way into that conversation.
Yeah,
but
I got my eye on them still.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, it feels like Love is getting better and better and better as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, watching the game this weekend, he made so many throws that, you know, I can't remember who was calling the game, if it was Romo or whoever it was a quarterback that was calling the game, and they kept pointing out how the throws that he was making, you know, they were up, but they still needed to get a first down. But the throws he were making were like, they moved to a spot on the field where no one else except for the receiver had any opportunity to catch the ball. And the receiver caught the ball almost every single time. They weren't good. They didn't look like good passes, but what they were is they weren't passes that would hurt you and allow somebody else back in the game. And so I think he's developing right in front of us, and pretty impressive.
Yeah, they're a young team too. They're not a team full of stars or anything like that yet. Like, maybe one of the receivers develops into one, and maybe Jordan Love develops into that top five type quarterback. Josh Jacobs is a star. I'll say that running back.
Yeah.
But they're really built for the playoffs too, with the way they play defense. And like I just mentioned, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, look at that. We just completely skipped to the Packers game. That was my fault. That was all my good fault, Jesse. But yeah, to finish up with the Philly game, they look like a team for me that, again, like 2 weeks ago, I felt this way about the Lions, but I think they have the best specialty players, because when you look at Saquon, then you look at their two star receivers, AJ Brown, and, you know, like they're developing and they're getting healthy at the right time. And I don't know if Jalen Hurts is the guy, but
like, what do you mean?
Like, I just don't know that he's a guy who can lead you to a Super Bowl. Like, I'm not convinced. Like, he, to me, isn't a top five quarterback. There are too many quarterbacks that I just, like, consider much better than him. But I still like him as a quarterback.
Yeah, he's not top five, but, I mean, he's gotten them there before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, I think he's at least top 10. Like, when he's at his best, he's top 10, I think.
No, I think so, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's a dual-threat guy, but I don't think, like, he's a dual-threat guy that isn't quite the passer that, you know, like a Lamar Jackson is as a dual-threat guy or a lot of the other quarterbacks. So, but I definitely think their defense has figured things out. And, man, the coaching there is just wonderful because...
Yeah, I had a lot of takes about Nick Sirianni before the season, even early on during the season.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was wrong. Nick Sirianni can coach, I guess.
I think he can coach, but I also, like, whoever...
He can run the team well, whatever you want to call it. Like, Nick Sirianni works. Nick Sirianni is good for the Eagles. I was wrong.
Whoever their defensive coordinator is...
Big Fangio.
Yeah, they just keep churning out defensive tackles. I mean, you got to remember, like, well, defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. This is a team that purged almost everyone from their team that went to the Super Bowl on the defensive line.
Yeah,
they went cheaper and they found new guys, and they're still so incredible defensively.
Yeah, they drafted well. I mean, they got Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis. I think he's the other kid. He might be hurt right now, but yeah, they just drafted well. N'Kobe Dean, the linebackers and stuff like that. And then Vic Fangio. Last year he was in Miami. He wasn't great. I don't think he wanted to be there all that much, but yeah, he's turned it up in Philly there.
Yeah, he is, definitely.
Especially after last season, too. I feel like the way that season went with their offense and defense, just given coming off the Super Bowl, like, this is a big step up.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We also have, just to finish up that Green Bay-Seattle game, Green Bay wins 30-17 over the Seahawks.
It wasn't close at all.
It wasn't, and it did not feel like it was close. And then Geno got hurt.
Looks like he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
As far as maybe if they make the playoffs and all that. I'm not sure if he's gonna miss next week and all that, but it's not too serious from what the tweets I saw.
Okay. The 49ers are, of course, I don't know if they're technically eliminated.
There's some math you can probably do where, like, they got a 0.02 chance or whatever to get in, but they're just about done.
Yeah, I would, looking at this, I don't know if Seattle or the Rams Arizona play each other. But the only way the 49ers could get in was like a four-way tie.
Yeah.
And I mean, that mathematically, just looking at the standings, it's still a possibility, but I haven't looked at to see who plays who. So again, if they're all playing each other, then it's a problem.
We're probably better off just looking at the draft at this point for the Niners.
No, I would agree.
Yeah,
and not only that, but look at draft positioning. Like, I don't know, there's a bunch of bad teams in the NFL this year. You know, we've talked about this before, but, I mean, the Raiders and Giants are both two-win teams. But, Jesse, there are so many bad three-win teams. Like, the Patriots, the Browns, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Carolina. There's five three-win teams right now.
Jacksonville and New England are the only teams there's situations I feel good about, just given it looks like they have quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. He might be average to above average, but, and it seems like Drake May for the Patriots is something. They got something to build off of. The other teams, they're kind of a lost cause.
No, I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. On top of that, we've got, of course, your Texans. I mean, your Dolphins.
Yeah, my Texans, James.
Your Dolphins.
Sure as hell not the Miami Dolphins. They suck.
They lose 20-12.
Shout out to like, that's my guy, but throwing three picks, great. Tyreek Hill, another no-show in a big game. Mike McDaniel, genius. Yeah, sure. Can't even put up 30 points. You can't even put up more than 12 when you got Achan, Tyreek, Tua, all those guys. Can't do none of it. Season's over. Whatever. I'll be back next year.
What's even worse, you know they're not eliminated yet, right?
Don't tell me that. They are. Don't tell me that. I don't know. Because because if the Chargers lose two more and they went out, I think they have a chance. But we're not going to do that. I'm not going to get back into it. They stink.
You're not going to give yourself that little sliver of hope?
I'm not. The Jets game, it's bad enough they won that to give me hope going into the Texans game. The Texans didn't even play that great either. Like, I feel like the defense, Miami's defense, held C.J. Stroud and that offense in check a bit. But you can't overcome turnovers. Team stinks.
C.J. Stroud has not had a great season.
His stats were worse than I thought going into that game.
Yeah, he has not been really good. I mean, they're 9-5 on the season, and I think, you know, again, he's finding ways to win games, but he's dealt with some injuries with his receiving corps throughout the season. I think Joe Mixon's been really good for them. They're a team that I look at and go, okay, they could jump up and beat somebody.
They have the talent. If they just click at the right time, they can go on a run.
Yeah, I just don't fear them fully. Like, I don't think that they will win. I don't think that they're a contender by any chance at this point in the season, but at the same time, I enjoy watching them. Like, CJ Stroud is good.
They're a good football team. They play physical. I like the way D'Amico Ryans wins that defense, too.
Yeah.
They just force turnovers.
Yeah, and they have a ton of really high-end talent on the defensive side of the ball. Your Dolphins, I feel bad because I feel like when I watch Tua throw picks, you know, there are picks because, you know, defensive back makes a great play. Or
that last one, Derek Stingley, I think his first name's Derek. Stingley made a good play on that one, kind of took Tyreek Hill on that third one.
Yeah, but the other ones, I feel like more often than not when Tua throws a bad pick, it's like you're
They're horrible. When he throws a pick, it's like, how did you not see this guy coming right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's frustrating in that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what separates sort of tiers. It's kind of like Dak Prescott. Like, some of the picks he throws, you're just like, everyone in the entire stadium, like, there's an 8-year-old crying in the stands that knew that that ball was going to get picked off the second you threw it.
Yeah.
So
Tua is good enough to win if you have the right team around him. Like, he could be a top 10 quarterback, I think, on his best day. He's probably 12-2-10 right now, I'd say. But I don't know. We'll see what they do in the offseason. He might have to fire Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, their GM.
Oof.
It's not great, James.
Are you feeling like they need to start over?
I don't know how much you need to start over because you're still sticking with two and you have good players. It's just someone's got to build a different team there, like a different way of playing football, I think. They're not physical enough at all.
Okay.
Like, if you punch the Dolphins in the mouth, figuratively or whatever, you're going to win that day.
Yeah, they don't recover.
Either you play their way or you're going to kick their ass.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting because that feels like a mindset that you can change.
Mm-hmm.
And you specifically have to draft guys that are that type of player.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they just got away from that after, like, the Richie Incognito, like, era.
I mean, that was tough in itself, but they are about as soft as it gets when it comes to playing football.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. Outside of that, Devondre Campbell, the San Francisco 49ers, we all thought they were going to waive Devondre Campbell after he decided not to play. We're now hearing they tried to get him to go in the game in the second quarter, and he said no then, mm-hmm. and then came out in the third quarter when he was supposed to take over and said, no, I'm not going to go in.
John Lynch told him to get up out of there.
Yeah, so they're going, the 49ers, it looks like they're going to suspend Campbell, and when they suspend him, this does a couple of things. Number one, it allows them to recoup some of the signing bonus that he signed in the offseason. I guess they're on the hook for, like, his salary was $5 million for this year, but because he's being suspended, they can take some money back from him. So that's one reason why they're suspending him. The other reason is the one that I think everyone likes. They're suspending him so he can't go sign somewhere else.
I get that. Because what he did was, like I said, I don't think he'll ever land on another NFL team. But you can't, you gotta take that punishment or whatever. Like, that's not something where it's like, all right, we're gonna cut you, whatever. He's done. Like, no, you gotta kind of set a precedent, I think, in a way for the 49ers too.
Yeah, you can't reward
for the NFL,
a guy,
if you want to call it that.
Yeah, you can't reward a guy for something like that. And
not even leave the door open.
Yeah, but I think if you're the Niners, what you would hate to see is that you waive him and then, like,
Detroit
the Lions
pick him up because their entire defense is decimated and then he's winning a Super Bowl because you cut him.
Yeah, I don't think I could live with that if I'm the 49ers. Yeah. I'm okay with what they're doing here. Have you ever, you remember another situation like that where a dude just, like...
No, only the ones where they retire. Like, Vontae Davis was the only other one where I remember was, like, he left mid-game.
Antonio Brown,
but that was just...
I mean, he, like, stripped
wild
in the end zone.
Yeah, that was one of the weirdest moments in NFL history.
Yes.
But, like, you see it with these guys. Like, if they retire, for me, it's like, okay, if you don't love the game, then you don't love the game. Go home, that's fine. But if you're just quitting on your team just because you're throwing a fit and you don't like the fact that Dre Greenlaw's starting, that's a huge issue. That's the most selfish thing you could do.
No, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. The floor shook.
Kevin running down the halls.
Do we still call him Kevin the intern?
I call him Kevin. I thought it was always intern Kevin, not Kevin the intern.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I think he's Kevin now. He's big dog now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes to run by the windows.
Yeah.
Did you notice that there's no one in the building today?
I didn't notice the sky was blue as well today, James.
It's Monday, though. I thought people were here on Mondays now.
James, it is December. What is it? December 16th is basically Christmas.
For them.
I kind of woke up today. I was like, wish it was Christmas.
I had to drive in the rain. And
that was wild.
I was going to Kings practice on Saturday. I got in the car. I drove all the way to Auburn. I'm in Auburn. Torrential downpour. Mm-hmm. tree limbs down everywhere, and I text, you know, media relations. I'm like, yeah, I'm going home. Like,
this is not worth it at this point.
There's no reason for me to drive an hour in, like very unsafe driving conditions for, like, 30 minutes with a practice. Like, sorry, I won't be there. I did make it out yesterday. We'll talk a lot about that coming up. There are some things happening with the Sacramento Kings. We, of course, have injuries. We have all kinds of things that we'll need to dive into. But just wrapping up the NFL, if you're looking at this right now, who are your favorites to make it to the Super Bowl?
I'm going to make a pick for
AFC NFC championship games.
All right, AFC NFC championship. I'm going to go Bills. The Chiefs. I don't know who I feel great about in the AFC besides the Bills. Like the Ravens. The Ravens on their best, they're a really good football team, but it's just kind of like, you never know what that is. And yesterday they played great, but I'm not gonna give you props for being the Giants. It's just what you're supposed to at this point. The Steelers, I don't think, are good enough to get to the AFC Championship. I don't know. I'll go Bills, Chiefs, but I'll keep my eye on the Texans. I can see the Texans making a run. But I'll go Bills, Chiefs in the AFC, and then NFC is Eagles, Lions at this point. But I might take the Lions out in the next couple weeks for the Packers.
Okay. I sort of feel the same way. I mean, I don't want to just go by, you know, the records at this point. Mm-hmm. But with the Bills beating the Lions this deep in the season, it really does kind of, like, tell you, like, who they are and where they're heading. And, again, whether it's luck by hook or by crook, Kansas City Chiefs just figure out how to win. And then when they get to the playoffs, they really figure out how to win. And that's when you're really in trouble. And they're getting healthy outside of the Mahomes injury. I will say the Denver Broncos, way more impressed than I thought I would be.
Yeah, I feel like with me, I've been kind of waiting for them to fall off, but they're just a good team at this point. So that's just what it is.
I kind of feel that way too. And, you know, again,
would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Sean Payton is one of those guys that everybody is super tough on, for a good reason. You know, I think Sean Payton throughout his, you know, there's a little bit of, like, fraud watch with him. Especially, you know, coming out of the Drew Brees era and all that stuff.
I mentioned the Texans, like, possibly being able to make a run in the AFC. Zabo, Bucks fan in the chat. You think the Bucks can do anything in the NFC? I mean, they beat the hell out of the Chargers yesterday.
Maybe. Yeah, because I would put the Chargers on fraud watch. I'm not worried about the Chargers right now, although Harbaugh, I think, has done a really good job of turning that team around after a really bad season last year. And then, you know, just basically jettisoning all of their specialty players, all their wide receivers, all their starting wide receivers, all their running backs. So you just started fresh. They have lost, you know, J.K. Dobbins. Yeah. They lost Dobbins, and, you know, so that hurt. But overall, that team just doesn't seem to have it. I think it's interesting. You look at a team like the Broncos, and, you know, they've won four straight. A win over the Colts isn't like something to write home about, or the Browns or the Raiders. The Falcons are a solid team, but I think overall, like, you're seeing them kind of figure things out and plug away. And Bo Nix just keeps getting better. I think he's going to be a really, really nice quarterback when it's all said and done.
I feel like the Broncos kind of got laughed at for that pick, just just like, all right, you didn't have to take him that high. It was kind of like you got stuck with the last guy left. But it turns out they got one of the better ones in the draft.
Yeah, you know, like week one watching him, mm-hmm. it was like, uh-oh, yes. you know. But then you get to week two and you're like, oh, no, I like what I see here. I like his the way he commands everything on the field. I overall, I think just like his presence is good for an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and he's not going to be he's not his best right now. It would be in a couple of years, but you got him to a point where he's comfortable with, like, as a rookie, and that's all you can ask for, I think, with the Broncos.
Yep. All right. Well, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to dive into this Sacramento Kings Denver Nuggets matchup for tonight. We'll talk about the Kevin Huerter injury as well as Trey Lyles back at practice yesterday. So I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia filling in for Kyle Madsen. We are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320.
Go.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia is filling in for Kyle Madsen.
We'll be back from the North Pole tomorrow.
He will be back from the North Pole where they're filming a Lindsay Lohan movie and he's an extra.
Yes, correct.
That's what we're going with today.
Hopefully everyone is able to stay with their significant others in that movie.
I doubt it. Hopefully no small dogs are injured in the course of that movie.
You ever think about how that is, like, the formula for Hallmark Christmas movies? It's like, oh, you're with so-and-so, but there's so-and-so over here we love, and it's just a Christmas miracle if you end up with them, and then you do, and all that. There's always someone getting left.
It's very...
There's never one where the family or the couple just sticks together and they have a good time the entire movie.
It's very formulaic.
Yeah, someone's always getting broken up with or just left, whatever.
It's tough. Well, that's what I feel like with this Sacramento Kings roster.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you think that they're pulling it back together, everything's going well, they've won three in a row, you get an email.
That Kevin Huerter is out for the game.
Kevin Huerter, I don't know if you saw it during the game last week on Thursday. Kevin Huerter clearly took a shot to his injured left shoulder, to his surgically repaired left shoulder. Kevin Huerter, of course, sat out the entire offseason, 6 months of rehab. Now he has an AC joint sprain in that same shoulder. He is listed as doubtful for today, just to get into the injury report right away here. He's listed as doubtful for today, and the Kings really don't know where to go from here with that, you know, the sixth man. And Jesse, I think it's an interesting, you know, problem that they've kind of, it's been heading this way for a while because they don't really have a very strong bench with Malik Monk as a starter.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts? Like, how would you replace Kevin Huerter's minutes in that starting in that bench role?
I mean, I'd imagine they didn't play any minutes the last game, but you probably look towards Doug McDermott or Jay Crowder to give you something.
Yeah.
I think you need points off the bench, and that's how you're going to get it. You got McLaughlin off the bench too, but I think McDermott and maybe Crowder are the way to go, but I don't feel great about it at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like at some point you are going to have to give Doug McDermott an opportunity to try to be that sort of bench scoring guy, mm-hmm. Especially with Huerter on, you know, he's out. He's listed as day-to-day. Again, it's a left AC joint sprain. Good news from practice yesterday. Trey Lyles was back on the court. We didn't get clarification on whether Trey had practiced at all. He will not play this evening. He's listed as out. Same with Devin Carter. But he's definitely on the mend. He just today is the three week mark from the day that he strained his right calf, and so you're kind of looking at this window right here where the Kings don't play a lot. They don't play again until Thursday after tonight's game. And then, you know, you've got a couple more days. So there's a possibility maybe by the end of the week, maybe by the weekend, Trey Lyles might be back on the court. And that should help things as well.
Honestly, it'll be a massive help, I think, with the way the bench is gone. If he can just consistently knock down a three, please, Trey Lyles, like, that's all they need.
Yeah, I also like the idea of Trey Lyles playing alongside Isaac Jones and, you know, like setting him up for some passes. You know, they've got to hit corner threes for sure, but I like Trey as a small ball five. I think the Kings missed Trey as a small ball five. He had this really good stretch of games where, he was just tearing it up. It, you know, coincided with DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk, and Domantas Sabonis all being out at the same time, and he was forced into a starting role. But, you know, I think it was like a six-game stretch. He averaged almost 11 points and six rebounds, shot 40-something percent from three. So he looked like he was starting to get into game shape. And then, of course, he goes down with another injury. So tough look for Trey.
Is there ever a point where, like, you feel good about, like, if Kevin Huerter and the Trey Lyles are healthy, like, would you feel better about the Kings? Or is it still, like, you got to upgrade?
Yeah, I do still feel like you have to upgrade.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not on those guys. It's that the roster was left with some holes.
Yeah, you're at a point where you can't afford to lose anyone or anything right now. Like, with Kevin Huerter out tonight, like, I don't feel great about the game. I do see ways in which they can win, but it's kind of, all right, we're going to need everyone tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going up a Denver Nuggets team, which is, number one, they've been a very good team over the last, like, 5 years. They have a guy who's won three MVPs and Nikola Jokic.
One of the greatest players of all time, could end up going down as the top 10 greatest player of all time.
Yeah, and people are ignoring that still, mm-hmm. the fact of, like, his impact on a game. All the advanced metrics say he should have won four straight MVPs without any question, and just, like, his impact on the game is absolutely incredible. But also, the Sacramento Kings, you know, were 3-1 against this team last year.
Yeah.
They had their number, and that's with Jokic playing in all games. And, you know, looking at Denver's injury report, they do have some question marks. You know, we're looking at, let me see. Christian Braun is questionable with a low back issue. Murray is probable. They don't have Kankar. They don't have Deron Holmes, their prized rookie, who's going to be out for the season. And Dario Saric is out as well. But this is a really, you expect to be a 50-something win team. They haven't played up to that. But then, Jesse, you look at their bench, and, you know, they've got Russell Westbrook hiding on the bench, who's playing. I mean, he's not the old Russell Westbrook, but he's still putting up points.
Russell Westbrook off the bench can still help a team, like, right now in the NBA.
Well, I mean, I just look at Russell Westbrook and say, hey, do the Kings have anybody on the bench combined that can match what Russell Westbrook's probably going to do tonight?
I mean, he scored 5 points the last game, but, I mean, we were talking about the Kings only getting 9 from their bench the game before against the Pelicans.
Yeah. So,
yeah, Peyton Watson, he gave him 14 off the bench last game, too.
Yeah, so right now, Westbrook's averaging 11 points off the bench. You've got Peyton Watson, who I really like Peyton Watson. I think they found a nice little player there. If there's some way that that Christian Braun doesn't play, they're going to have trouble at that guard position. So whether it's Westbrook starting or whatever, Westbrook started 5 games this year. So let's get to our starting lineups. We got Jamal Murray, Christian Braun, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon is back, and Nikola Jokic for the Denver Nuggets. Kings, of course, go with De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis, their standard starting lineup. What do you got for a matchup of the game in this one?
We got Sabonis and Jokic in here, and I think that might be it, too. I mean, because looking at it, like, that's their best player, and Sabonis has been tearing it up. I think I was looking at the Nuggets 3-point numbers too, and I was like, all right, you figure the Kings have been so bad, so you just have to match the Nuggets. Where are the Nuggets? They're actually, as far as three pointers made, they're one less than the Kings this season. So I don't think that's where you're gonna have to go win the game. It's probably down low with Sabonis and Jokic going up against each other.
No, I agree. I'd say the one problem I have is looking at the 3-point percentage. The Nuggets are eighth in the league at 38.1% from three. They just don't shoot them.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, again, they're 30th in the league in attempts. So the problem is, do the Kings still give up all those threes? And, you know, you're hoping that that's not going to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's why a team like the Kings went 3-1 against the Nuggets last season? It's just the Nuggets are built more towards where the Kings can thrive, I guess. Because you're not going to have to outshoot them from the three-point line, really.
No, I think the way that the Kings are built, surprisingly, they're built to play well against Nuggets. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Sabonis and Jokic matchup, that's a super high quality matchup.
Yeah,
which is why, you know, it's their matchup of the game. But I think the other, when you go to the bench and you bring in Alex Len, I think Alex Len, for whatever reason, is actually a really good matchup against a guy like Jokic.
Yeah.
You know, he has a length. He has the ability to hold his ground. He doesn't bite on a bunch of, like, crazy fakes, because Alex doesn't do a lot of leaping. And so he's more, even though he's tall and slender and like super long armed, he's not like a huge above the rim guy, and he's not doing crazy out of position things. And I just think it gives Jokic a little bit of trouble. So, yeah.
It's going to be an interesting game. I mean, Kings are, they've won four in a row.
They've won three in a row. They're back to 500 at 13-13.
Yeah, four or five then. Like the little run they went on, like you beat the Rockets, you beat the Spurs without Wemby and all that. Like you didn't beat the best of teams. So if you were to go out tonight and get a team like the Nuggets, I think that's going to do something for some confidence.
Yeah, this is a huge point in the schedule for the Kings.
Get a game over 500 if you're able to as well.
Yeah, they play 11 straight in the state of California, and nine of those are at home, and it starts tonight.
Please take care of your business at home.
That's the biggest question, Jesse. They're 6-7 at home on the season, and you know they really have to figure out how to win at home.
Yeah,
it doesn't. They're 7-6 on the road, and they're 6-7 at home. It doesn't make any sense.
For normal NBA teams, this is kind of where you make your run, or where you kind of get out of the hole that you were in.
Exactly.
But I said normal NBA teams, and we know the Kings aren't that, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. I expect big crowds out all the way through the holidays. Mm-hmm. Kings fans usually show up. The Kings usually play a ton of games at home during the month of December. All right. We're the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hamm. He is Jesse Tapia. Thanks for tuning in to us today. I did get to go out to Sacramento Kings practice yesterday, and you know, we had a lot of good conversations, you know, specifically Mike Brown, like, what are you going to do with Kevin Huerter, you know, likely out, and at least for one game, but maybe multiple games here. And he's pretty convinced that, you know, that they don't have one person that can step up and just be that guy right now. Mm-hmm. And like, he's willing to give that person, if somebody does go in a game and says, hey, I'm that guy tonight, he's willing to go that direction and say, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and do what you're doing, and we're going to, you know, we'll support you. But he also feels like it's going to be a lot of mixing and matching, a lot of like, give a guy 2-3 minutes here, see how he looks. If it's not going well, go to somebody else.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
He has no choice at this point. That's what you have to do. You have to maybe give Jay Crowder 5 minutes, see what he has for the night. And if he doesn't have it, all right, get him out of there. Doug McDermott, what could you give me tonight? Nothing. All right, well, that's going to be an issue. Keon Ellis, please, can you be the guy? Like, it's just, it's kind of a roulette at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, he brought up Keon Ellis and said, hey, you know, last season we had situations like this where we had injuries, and we had injuries to starters, and Keon Ellis stepped into the starting lineup. And, you know, Mike said, it's not like, as a coach, I haven't given people opportunities. And, you know, he went to Keon, and Keon did great and mm-hmm. earned his way into a rotational spot. Not only that, earned his way into an NBA contract by playing so well. And he's like, so if there's a way for a Keon Ellis to do that again, or for somebody else to step up and just demand with their play that they're going to, you know, earn 20 or 30 minutes right now, I think he's all for it. But if not, I think we're going to start seeing, at least for like the next week or so, until you get both Lyles and Huerter back, a situation where Mike Brown is relying on these guys to go upwards of 38 to 40 minutes at the starters, 38, 40 minutes a game again.
Yeah, because you look at the Pelicans game, the only players who really got 2 minutes coming off the bench was Huerter, who got 28, and then Keon got 20. Everyone else is 5 and less. So it was like,
and he played a lot of them.
Exactly. So it was like, who's getting those minutes now at this point?
It's tough, but if you're looking at, you know, just pure matchups, I don't think I want to run Jordan McLaughlin out there against Russell Westbrook as, you know, coming off the bench. And I get that. And Peyton Watson's long. He's athletic. Like, I don't know how much you can put Doug McDermott on him and expect to slow him down. And you'd hope that maybe a guy like Jay Crowder could step out on the court and give you something against a guy like Aaron Gordon or a guy like Michael Porter Jr., but I don't know. Don't know if that's going to be the case. This is a tough matchup team for the Kings. Mm-hmm. And I think the Kings are a tough matchup team for like plenty of teams in the league. I mean, when you have two dynamic scoring and distributing playmaking guards matched with like one of the best centers, especially passing centers in the NBA, and, you know, 3-point marksman and a mid-range genius, like, they're a tough matchup, but, you know, five guys don't make a team.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, they're at a point where like Keegan Murray might just have to give him 43 minutes tonight.
Yeah, I would think so, especially against the two guys that they have, you know, long athletic wings.
Yeah,
you know?
This might be Keegan. We don't really – rest isn't really a thing today because Kevin's out. Like, you need to play DeMar. They're going to need him maybe around 40. Like, it's just a point where you'd hope someone on the bench steps up, but if you're going to get the win, you might just need it from one of your top five guys.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, like, because this is a team that I think if you look at – I think Jamal Murray and, you know, the player comp between Jamal Murray and De'Aaron Fox isn't good. And I think also the way that Jamal Murray is considered around the league because of his playoff appearances versus the way that Fox is viewed around the league. But Fox is just a much better player.
I think Fox is a tier better player.
Yeah. Oh, no.
A tier above. Not disrespecting Jamal Murray. Just Fox is just that much better. Jamal Murray has the playoff success and the shots and all that. But I think... games one through whenever the season's finished, like, Fox is just a better player.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. If you're the Kings and you have your choice of Keegan Murray becoming Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter Jr., which would you choose?
Aaron Gordon, I feel like I know what I'm getting from Aaron Gordon. Michael Porter Jr. probably has a ceiling that's higher than Aaron Gordon's, but I don't know how often he's reaching that. And I think Aaron Gordon is just an all-around better player.
Okay. Yeah, I think the Kings have to, like, there is a pathway right here where they need to go, okay, love Aaron Gordon. Like, Keegan's never going to be the leaper that Aaron Gordon
is.
Yeah,
not that. But I also think Keegan, they're not the same exact player, but I think Keegan can be better than Aaron Gordon, too. I don't know if he ever will be, but I think, like, just the tools that he has, like, he has a higher ceiling, but...
It's funny because I think we're all always waiting for Aaron Gordon to be better, but I think the player he is now... He's so incredibly productive.
He's perfect for what he is in the league right now.
Yeah, and he's perfect for that team.
Yeah, he's a championship-level role player.
Yeah, he reminds me of, I mean, not completely. Their games aren't completely the same, but a little bit of Sean Marion, like the Matrix. You know, he's a guy who does all of the dirty work, gets the toughest defensive assignments, physical. Some nights you need him to rebound and he's great. Sometimes he hits a couple of threes. Some nights, you know, he gets a couple of highlight reel dunks. Like, he's just tough. And for a team like the Kings, you know, again, I think they need an Aaron Gordon type player. But I also think Keegan can be that type player.
Yeah.
But I don't think Keegan can be both. I don't think he can be an Aaron Gordon where you're, again, defensive assignments, rebounding, you know, all of the things that he brings to the table versus Michael Porter, who basically is for all intents and purposes, like, just a three-point shooter.
Yeah,
Just a scorer. And I would prefer that Keegan not just become that and he becomes more Aaron Gordon than he does going the other direction, going Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Keegan is... I don't know what to make about Keegan Murray. Because it's like I said, the talent is all there, but you're just waiting for him to just take it. Take the moment and be that guy on the Kings finally.
Yeah, you are. And it's very difficult to know when that might happen or if it will ever happen. And
that's the thing. Like, we don't know if it's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, like... Potential ends up being like a four-letter word at a certain point.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. I would much rather see... And that's the one thing I will point out with Keegan. I think he is very productive, but he's not productive in the way that you kind of thought he would be when
you drafted him to be.
Rookie. Yeah, well, I mean, draft him number four overall. Mm-hmm. You're expecting him to be, you know, a guy who's averaging 18 points. You know, the 9 rebounds is great, but they, you know, 18, 19 points per game, shooting 40% from three... And he's just not there in year three. And I don't know when he's going to get there or if he's going to get there, but that's kind of what you're banking on, that he's going to get there. But I definitely look at when you're building a team and you're the Sacramento Kings and you have Domantas Sabonis as your major hub, the one team that you are going to look at as far as how did another team like us build and find success, and it realistically is the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, Jay in the chat real quick. He says in the next 10 games, if Keegan doesn't pull it together, you have to think about trade options. Is that even something you're thinking about, like you, James Hamm, this year? Is that
no.
even something that's crossing your mind at this point? I don't think I'm at a point where I'm trading Keegan Murray. It's like I'm not thinking about that this year.
No, I mean, I think there comes a point where if there is some sort of crazy deal that comes
up... Where you can't say no, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, where you just can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
Then you, of course, have to look at that, right?
Yeah.
But I also, like, you have to be patient in some situations.
Yeah, you gotta play through, yeah.
And you have to look at the situational things, right? So I think Keegan Murray, if you didn't go out and sign DeMar DeRozan, probably would average way more per game than he does this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just like the DeMar DeRozan addition, it was always going to take away from one of these guys, and Keegan Murray is clearly that guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, also when you insert Malik Monk into the starting lineup, Keegan Murray's your fifth option.
Yeah, because Malik's got to get his. And he's just the playmaker where, like, you need the basketball in his hands.
Well, he's got to get his, but De'Aaron Fox has to get his, and DeMontis Sabonis has to get his, and DeMar DeRozan's
a 30-plus millionaire player, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean,
doing the quick math.
It's tough, man. So that's what you're looking at. You're looking at how does he fit in, and I don't think he's fit in poorly. Mm-hmm. I just think you need him to be better at the things that...
He might be figuring it out. He played well the last five games.
Yeah.
We'll see if he's coming out of his slump, but
we just need him to be more consistent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, he's not even the biggest issue with the team. Like I said, I think the biggest issue with the team is just their lack of depth and just you're not getting enough consistency from the last five guys.
Yeah. Let's just look at the next five games, right? Mm-hmm. The Kings have this window here where I believe that everyone kind of circles this just like they do every other five-game stretch. But this is really a moment where they could build momentum. They've won three in a row. You've got Denver, followed by Thursday and Saturday against the Lakers, which is very strange. They play a Saturday-Sunday back-to-back, both of them 3 o'clock starts, which, again, is very strange. So you've got Denver, Lakers, Pacers, Pistons, and then Lakers again. So just looking at that six-game stretch, and that leads you up to December 28th, there's some ability here to gain some momentum and to put yourself right back into the Western Conference standings.
There is. You're also not... You're not playing scrubs coming in like during the stretch either. Like, you're going to... I don't know how I want to say this, but I don't know if I trust the Kings right now, James.
Well, I mean, I
don't know what to expect from this five-game stretch. It's like, yeah, like, in theory, yeah, you're playing the Lakers twice, the Pacers, who have not been great, and the Pistons, who have just been bottom feeders the last 3 years. This year, they look a lot better, but they're still 10-16. The Nuggets is probably your toughest matchup, but it's like, what am I... Sure, those other teams aren't great, but what am I supposed to expect from the Kings at this point?
No, that makes sense. I think that's the biggest question, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone knows the answer. Again, they've won 3 out of 4. Well, no, 4 out of 5. So, but again... They haven't played like the toughest schedule ever. Mm-hmm. And they're coming off a stretch where they lost to bad teams. And so you're always left like wondering, this is not a team you'd bet on.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, actually place like a coming out of this, monetary bet on.
Yeah. Coming out of this 5-game stretch, I'd be happy if they came out of it 3-2. I think that's a realistic way of seeing it. Like, you'd probably hope 4-1 and all that, but I'd imagine they probably split with the Lakers and then hopefully they're able to get the Pacers and Pistons. Tonight, I don't know how confident I am just given Kevin's out, and I don't know what to expect from the bench, and maybe, like I said, it's one of the starting five guys that's giving you 40-plus minutes and it's turned it up, and that's how you get the win that way, but...
Okay.
That's where I'm at with this five-game stretch.
For me, I'm looking at this five-game stretch, and I think if you're going to climb back up the standings, you got to go 4-1.
You're right. I'm not going to fight you on that.
But. I mean, that's it. Like, if you're going to be serious about this thing and start to build some momentum for the season, 4-1, you got to find a way to beat the Lakers again. Then you have the Mavs, and you've got a bad 76ers team, and then the Grizzlies, the Warriors, the Heat. Like, there are winnable games
Celtics
here.
Celtics are coming up after that.
Yeah, this stretch, again, from December 16th until January 6th, the Kings play 9 home games, and the 2 road games they have are at LA Lakers and at Golden State Warriors. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy.
We'll see what happens. I think I'll start to believe in this team a little bit more if Monty does something about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to discuss that exact thing. December 15th came and went. That was yesterday. That, of course, is one of those days on the NBA calendar where things can happen. A couple of small things did happen, and that leads me to believe that there might be a more active early trade season this year than we've seen in the past. So we're the insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hams, Jesse Tapia filling in for Kyle Madsen. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Realtek 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Realtek 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.